Welcome to Financial Freedom, God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and as always, it is an absolute honor to have you with us today. It really is. Now, where are we going to go during our 30-minute time together? Well, we're going to start out with our radio seminar, where you are going to begin to see that according to the Bible, every minute of your life, to include your financial life, well, you are going to be involved in an emotional, physical, and a spiritual battle. We know that to be true according to the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that we need to discover how to pick up and to put on God's spiritual financial armor by taking a fresh look at Ephesians chapter 6. Then, during our Q&A time together, we are going to begin to see how the Lord would have us make vocational decisions. We're going to see how He would have us apply the principles of wealth and stewardship when it comes to our jobs. And then, what I want to do is to spend just a little bit of time and to share with you some information on a brand new prayer initiative, a community prayer initiative that is going to be launching this coming Tuesday, both morning and evening. We'll spend some time there. I think it's information you're going to want to know. And then finally, we're going to finish up with a minute with Maxwell, and we're going to see what John has to teach us about the word instinct. Instinct is the word today on the Minute with Maxwell. So stay tuned, won't you? And I know you're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's program. And as we start, to make sure we get off on the right start, well, join me, would you please, as I open us in prayer. Father, thank you for meeting with us yet again today. And please continue to give us ears to hear so that all that you have planned for us to hear, we will in fact not only take in, but to get up and operating in our life to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. My friend, let me ask you two questions, okay? Two questions. Here's the first. Why do you suppose it is that some people struggle and they never seem to reach their financial goals? Why do you think that is? Here's the second question. Why do others seem to have continued financial success without even any effort at all? Now, why would that be? Well, I would submit to you that both answers are found in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about spiritual warfare and God's spiritual armor. You see, according to the Bible, every minute of your material and financial life, you're going to be involved in an emotional and a physical battle, including a financial battle. You see, according to the Bible, when you have those battles, you're either going to win or you're going to lose. You're either going to be the victor or you're going to be the victim. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the choice is ours. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to do a couple of things, okay? First of all, you need to get to know who your enemy is, and then you need to learn how to fight and win. You see, Paul says that we are to get dressed. He tells you that you are to get dressed for battle, including financial battle. He tells you to put on the whole armor of God. And by the way, I want to put a parenthesis here. Notice that it is God's armor. It's God's armor. You're not going to get this armor from your denomination. You're not going to get it from your church, your school, or from your mom and dad. You're not going to get it from doing good works and feeding the poor. That's not how you're going to get it. You see, according to the Bible, you get God's armor only when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Then your job is to learn how to pick it up and put it on and use it to God's glory. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to cover each of the seven pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 6 as we go through different radio seminar times together. Now, I know you're saying something like that. Wait a minute, Bob. It's been a while since I've looked at Ephesians chapter 6, but it seems to me I only remember six pieces of armor. Well, there are seven, and we're going to talk about it, okay? And we're going to talk about it. Why are we going to talk about it? Because it is important. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, Paul tells us how important it is. Listen as I read from God's word. Paul tells us, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Now, what Paul is telling you here is that, what he's telling us is that you and I as Christians, yes, we're engaged in a spiritual financial battle. You see, if we have asked Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Lord and Savior, then we are going to find ourselves subject to the devil's financial attacks. And Paul is telling you, he's telling me, he's telling us that we are to learn to use every piece of God's armor to resist the devil's attacks, including his financial attacks. Now, what exactly does this mean? Well, it means that you have a very real spiritual adversary that you must learn to oppose with genuine spiritual weapons. You see, my friend, worldly weapons, they're never going to be enough. Even the best material weapons, they're never going to be enough. Listen, budgeting, as important as budgeting is, it's never going to be enough. Even tithing, as important as tithing is, is it going to be enough for you to tithe to avoid the attacks of the devil? No, sir. Tithing is not going to be enough. You see, you need spiritual weapons and a strategy that tells you how to use your spiritual weapons. This means that you must learn to combine and use Bible-based financial principles and applications along with what Paul calls the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, what I want you to see right up front are some very, very hard facts about the spiritual warfare that you and I face every day, okay? For example, did you know that the word devil, it is much more a job description than it is a name? You see, in the Bible, the word Satan, it's a proper name, and therefore it's capitalized. But the word devil, the word devil is not a name, and therefore it is not capitalized. And as a matter of fact, the word devil, it's a word from the Greek, the Greek words dia and balos. Now these words they combine to form a word that I know you have heard before, and that is the word diabolos, okay? Now what you may not know is that the word diabolos describes something. It describes the repetitive action of hitting something, anything, again and again and again, until finally that wall or that membrane, whatever is being hit, is so worn down that it can be completely and thoroughly penetrated. Now, if you think about it, isn't that exactly how the devil works? You see, he wants to attack your mind repeatedly, again and again and again, with lies and suggestions and accusations and allegations. Listen, he wants to bombard you with one slanderous assault after another in order to break down your mental resistance and lead you into a maze of selfishness and self-centeredness so that he can take captive your mind, your emotions, and your finances. You need to remember that you have an adversary who adamantly and actively opposes righteousness. I mean, he hates the gospel. He detests even the mere presence of the church. Listen, he works around the cross. He works around the clock to discredit the message of Jesus Christ. And he works to tear you down, wear you out, and swallow you up in self-pity and make a shambles out of your finances. And by the way, do you realize that in 1 Peter 5:8, that we find that the devil seeks not just anyone to devour? Mm-mm. He seeks those whom he may devour. You see, he looks for those who are weak in the faith and those who are not mature enough to stand in the face of his constant attacks. According to the Bible, my friend, the devil's entrance into your financial life is allowed primarily through your negligence. Not anybody else. It's not your employer. It's not the bank, the stock company. It's not your job. Listen, the devil's entrance into your financial life is allowed primarily through your negligence. You see, he slips in through undisciplined, unorganized, and an uncommitted mind. And he begins to wage warfare against your mind, your flesh, and your finances. Now, that's the bad news. But what can you do about it? Well, you can. There's something you can do. Rather than try and run and hide from the devil, what you need to do is to learn and apply Bible-based financial principles. That's what we are all about. But more than that, you must also learn how to use God's spiritual armor. That way you can both stand firm. I mean, that means that you can not give the devil even an inch of new ground. And then eventually you can boldly move and retake the ground you've already lost. You see, you need to remember that Christianity, my friend, it is not a playground. It is a battleground. And God gives you his spiritual armor to pick up and put on as you enter into the battle. Now again, this is just an introduction to Ephesians chapter 6 and God's spiritual and financial armor. Okay, we're going to come back to this in upcoming weeks, and we're soon going to discover how to use each piece of God's armor as he and you move you down your personal road to financial freedom God's way. Now, for the next couple of times together, we're going to be talking about how to apply God's principles of wealth and stewardship when it comes to your employment, when it comes to your job, when it comes to your vocation. And let's start by laying a biblical and a very practical foundation for our Q&A times together, okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at some real-world questions that folks sent us throughout the years. Now, first, just a bit of foundation laying, okay? For example, did you know that nearly half of all working Americans today say that they are dissatisfied with their vocations, but they also feel that they can't afford to change careers? Now, why would this be? Well, I mean, why do so many of us seem to get trapped into jobs that we don't enjoy or have the heart for? Why? Well, because of two fundamental problems. Problem number one, well, first of all, an almost total lack of vocational planning exists in our society today. And number two, well, the affluence of our high-pressure generation that focuses young folks to take on too much debt too soon. You see, a large part of God's plan for our lives is that we have fulfillment through how we earn a living. But all too often today, the work environment is, well, it's the least enjoyable part of our life. I mean, many Christians suffer through 30 or 40 years or more of job dissatisfaction just waiting on the chance to be able to retire. And I am telling you, that is not God's plan for his people. Now, I don't know. I don't know that what we're supposed to do is to be able to get up out of bed, leap out of bed every morning and shout, "Hey, praise the Lord, I get to go to work today." I don't know that that's the case. However, listen, if Friday at 5 p.m. is the best part of your week and Monday at 8 a.m. is the worst part of your week, well, you can't possibly be in God's will when it comes to how you're making a living. You see, your work, well, it's part of your witness. But if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to be likely to do it well. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." It is my prayer that our next couple of Q&A times together will help answer a whole lot of the most common questions about making vocational decisions for adults and for children. So, that sets into place for us a foundation upon which we can take a look at some real-world questions, okay? Here's the first question. I've tried several different careers since leaving college, but I have yet to find one that I enjoy. I question if I even know what I want anymore. Can you please give me some guidance? Oh boy, oh boy. I bet this question really hits home for many of us. Let me ask you, how would you respond to that question? How would you answer that question? Or better yet, what would you appreciate hearing if you were the one asking the question? Well, I submit that to give the best possible response, what we need to do is to recognize, well, I got to tell you that I don't find anywhere in the Bible that God promises anybody the perfect vocation. But it seems clear that until you find a career field that fits your abilities and your personalities, you're never going to be happy. At this point, I think it is apparent that you have not found that career field, okay? Now, it is important to narrow down a career field as early in life as possible, even if you cannot decide on a specific job. Now, obviously, everyone is going to be different. Is that not right? I mean, one person is going to make a good salesman. The next person, a good accountant, while another may make a good administrator. It is important to recognize the differences and help to match your abilities to a specific career field. You see, I got to believe after a whole lot of years of doing this and reading and praying about this, too often people get trapped into the wrong career because of lifestyle choices. I mean, I believe that is why so few Americans, Christians included, well, they're not satisfied with their jobs. You see, if you are committed to serving God through your vocation, find the job that gives you the most peace and fulfillment. Do not make your decision based on pay or the esteem that you're going to receive. As Proverbs 15:16 says, better with a little, with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure and turmoil with it. Well, that was our first response. Now, I suggest that you might want to take just a bit of time to prayerfully consider this first response and see if that would be something that would have helped you, if that is something that you may be able to offer to somebody else to help them. Now, here's another question that folks ask about vocational decisions. And by the way, these decisions are not always perfectly easy to answer because there are no quick fixes, my friends. For example, here is another specific question that we received. Here's the question. I've been on the same job for more than 15 years, but I really don't like it, and I never have. I'm a driver for a package delivery system, and it's all I know how to do. Should I change jobs? Again, how would you respond to that question? Well, I suggest that neither you or I can answer this question for him. This question came in from Rob. So Rob, I'm going to tell you that what I can suggest is that you and your wife pray about this thing together and seek God's direction. You see, my friend, if you are tied to a job that you dread, well, you cannot possibly be in God's will. So if you turn this area of your life over to God, one of two things should happen. First of all, the Lord will either give you and your wife a peace about staying right where you are, or secondly, he's going to move you to where you should be. Matthew 21:22 says, and everything you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive, right? And finally, here's another vocational question that an awful lot of folks have. Short question, listen up. What should I do if I have a job that I really like, but it does not pay enough to meet my family's basic needs? Have you ever thought along those same lines, the same lines as this question? Now, this question came in from John. So, John, I hope you listen up. I hope you're listening today. Unfortunately, John, I got to tell you that your situation is not unusual, especially for those like you who are in Christian education. You see, most Christian school teachers thoroughly love what they do, but they simply do not make enough to adequately provide for their families. Our counsel over the years with these type of questions has been centered around two different aspects. Number one, see if God provides your family needs through another source. Now, for example, you might have your salary plus gifts from others. You might have your salary plus an inheritance or plus some other windfall, okay? But if your needs are provided, then the decision to stay or to go is simply a matter of choice. But listen, if your needs are not provided, then I got to believe the Bible tells you that you must look elsewhere, even though you do enjoy your work. Now, let me share with you a personal opinion on this, okay? You see, the issue of paying inadequate salaries, especially within the Christian school communities, well, it's one that the body of Christ really, we really do need to confront. Because eventually, what you're going to find is that the best of the most qualified people are going to move on to jobs that are going to provide their needs for their families to be able to live. And what that's going to give us is a Christian education system that's going to be staffed with underpaid and underqualified people. And that is not what we want. Listen, if our schools, personal opinion, if our schools can buy buses and buildings, we can certainly afford to adjust our pay scales and pay people a fair wage, a living wage. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. So lots and lots of folks seek the Lord's direction when it comes to their jobs. Yes, they do. Yes, we do. Which one is best? Do I stay? Do I go? When do I leave? Where do I go? What about you? And if you do, if you have these same kind of questions, I suggest that the first place to start is to go back and reconsider God's principles of wealth and stewardship. Remember, his principle of wealth says that even your career, even your job is a gift from the Lord. He tells us that back in Deuteronomy. Now, that being the case, what you need to do is to prayerfully learn to steward your career. Well, it is that time again. It is time for one of our favorite Christian authors and speakers and coaches. It is time for another Minute with Maxwell. Now, today John is going to share with us his thoughts on the word instinct. Instinct. So, let's listen in.
Instincts are very difficult to teach. Hi, my name is John. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I wrote the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, there were two of those 21 laws that were very difficult for me to teach and help people with. The law of intuition, which is something in the area of instincts, and the law of timing. And the reason those two were very difficult was because you have to almost be naturally gifted in leadership to have that intuition, timing, those instincts. I was talking to a very successful leader recently, and she was sharing with me that how she allows instincts many times to help her to be successful in her business, and she's highly successful. And basically what she said was this: if you've had a lot of good experiences and you've had a lot of good wins under your belt, there are times when you almost instinctively know what's going to happen and what you need to do. And she said, I have followed my, she said, gut a long time. And I have found that it's not always right, but it's right a lot of times. And it's certainly as right, at least by thinking through a project. So what's the value of an instinct? Very simple. It gets you started a little quicker than others. While others are trying to process and think it through, the instinct says, there it is, go get it. It gives you that I got started first advantage, which is the advantage in winning most of the races in life. Thanks for joining me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow. Thank you, John. I don't know about you, my friend, but do you ever have those gut feelings where you know exactly what you need to do or who you are meant to be? Well, according to John, it's called an instinct. And John suggests that we prayerfully follow those instincts because, listen, If we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the will of God, well, then the Holy Spirit is going to be directing what we say, think, and do. So it's logical that John suggests that we prayerfully trust our instincts. My friend, let me ask you a couple of questions, and then I want to suggest to you an answer, okay? Here are the two questions. First question is this. Do you sometimes leave church and think to yourself something like, how in the world am I ever going to make a difference for Christ? I mean, I can't fly to another country and help dig a well or love on orphans. What difference can I make? Second question. Have you ever attended a local town meeting and said to yourself something like, what use can I be in my community? I'm just a woman who works at the bank. Do those two questions hit home with you? Or here's something else. Maybe you sit down in the evening and watch the news and you think, oh, so sad, all of this violence, so disappointing, all of the scandal, all of the corruption. Well, if you have asked yourself any of these or similar questions, I got to tell you, you are certainly not alone. You see, many of us all too often think that there is absolutely nothing we can do to impact the world around us, or we don't know how. We don't know where to start. Now, I would suggest to you that praying for our mountain community right here in the North Georgia, North Carolina mountains could be the first step in helping not only change our community, but also help change the world. For example, do you have a heart that says you know that you need to be praying for our Lake Chattoog community, but you just don't know how or where to start? Well, let me give you the answer. The Chattoog Community Prayer Force, well, it is a new outreach ministry of Christian Financial Ministries, which is bringing together community prayer warriors to regularly pray for our community, to pray for our churches and businesses, to pray for our elected officials, first responders, and to pray for our schools and teachers and students, also to pray for our state, our nation, and as we are instructed in God's Word, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Chattoog Community Prayer Force, well, we're going to initially meet on the first and third Tuesday of each month, starting this coming Tuesday, July 20th. Now, we're going to meet from 8:45 to 10 o'clock in the morning, and from 7:45 to 9 o'clock in the evening. And where are we going to be? Well, we're going to meet at the Chattoog Ministry and Events Center, which is the former Mountain Music Home Theater, you know, that little red building on U.S. Highway 76 between Hiawassee and Young Harris. And last time I measured it, it was about a mile and a half east of the Georgia 17-515 intersection. So plan now to come with a prayer partner, or plan to come alone. But plan to come and come to pray. For more information, you can check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. The Chattoog Community Prayer Force, my friends, God is going to use us to make a difference. Boy, this has been another great time together. Recall that we started out setting the stage for converting God's spiritual armor into God's spiritual financial armor. And then during our Q&A time together, we are beginning to see how God's principles of wealth and stewardship apply to our vocations, how they apply to our career fields, and even the specific jobs we're currently doing right now. John Maxwell gave us some great thoughts to consider about the word instinct. And finally, well, you just received our personal invitation to be part of the Chattoog Community Prayer Force, right? Please join us and your neighbors either this coming Tuesday morning from 8:45 to 10, or Tuesday evening from 7:45 to 9. And finally, let me close as we opened, and that is in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together even yet again, and for each of the days to come, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.